You're listening there to an air raid siren going off in the Japanese district of Ibaraki early Tuesday. The cause? A North Korean ballistic missile flying over the northern Japanese island of Hokkaido. That missile crossed Japan and ultimately landed in the Pacific Ocean. But the launch was considered a direct threat to both Japan and the United States. The government in Pyongyang said in a statement that the missile was fired in direct response to ongoing military drills by the U.S. and South Korea. The United Nations Security Council, meanwhile, unanimously condemned that test, but appears unlikely to take any responsive action, at least at the moment. Joshua Pollack is Senior Research Associate at the Middlebury Institute of International Studies at Monterey. Joshua, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Joshua Pollack, we've been reporting over and over again on the latest North Korean missile test. I don't want to say they're becoming routine, but they are becoming frequent. How big a deal is this test that flew over the territory of Japan?
Well, it's not the first time North Koreans have sent a rocket over Japan. They've actually tried it seven times, and this is the fifth time it's gone over. The third time over the main islands, twice over small islands to the south that are very lightly populated. But I think it is a shock to the Japanese nevertheless. For one thing, the four earlier rockets to go over Japan were space launchers. They carried satellites. They were not designed to carry nuclear weapons necessarily. And the North Koreans moved them away from a site where they had to fly over the main islands. So in recent years, they've been going over these small southern islands very far from the mainland. So this is a move back to the mainland. Furthermore, the missile test campaigns of the last couple of years have involved a practice designed to keep the missiles from going over Japan. This is called lofting, where the North Koreans shoot them unusually high so they do not carry out over Japan into the Pacific. They've now set that practice aside, and I think the concern in Japan is that they are going to continue to do this, and there is no particular way to stop them.
So what's the overall message that should be interpreted from the North Koreans then? They did have the ability to launch these missiles high, and they dip in the ocean. Now they're making them go over Japan. What are they saying?
They're saying that they are going to ignore Japanese concerns and simply test missiles to their heart's content where and when it suits them.
So was there any new technology involved in this launch, or is the difference here sort of the messaging and the provocation of launching it over Japan?
I think what is new is going over Japan. Now, they did pick a route that minimized the populated areas it flew over. This is less aggressive than what they threatened in mid-August, which was four missiles to be shot into the vicinity of Guam. That would have had to pass over some heavily populated areas in southern Japan. But instead, they chose a single missile over a thinly populated area to the north.
And I don't want to suggest that this is a detente, but if it is less provocative than they threatened and less provocative than they were capable of doing, what message does that send?
That suggests that they prefer to proceed in a step-by-step manner, probably so the rest of the world gets used to what they are doing and does not react too strongly to any single step. If they had done too much, I think it might have united the Chinese with the Americans and their allies and really put them at risk of a severe response. Instead, they're being more cautious. This choice of action may have been connected to American actions or inactions, if you like, since the threat to test around Guam was linked to the flights of bombers out of Guam to the vicinity of North Korea. And they made it clear that their threat was designed to respond to that type of action. Since the United States apparently has not conducted any bomber flights like that since they made their threats in mid-August, they may have decided that they didn't have sufficient justification to do a test like that.
So Joshua Pollack, the president from the White House, has said something. He said, the world has received North Korea's latest message loud and clear. The regime has signaled its contempt for all of its neighbors. The president continues, all options are on the table. Is this standard fare from the president or something different?
That's a pretty far cry from fire and fury, I will say. This statement appears to have been written by staff. I don't think it comes from the president. It didn't come out of his Twitter feed. It didn't come out of his mouth before the TV cameras. And there's a lot to be said for that. This is a return to more standard messaging. All options are on the table means precisely nothing. And it maximizes flexibility. That's what that statement is meant to do. And that's why there's a tendency for American governments to revert to that language or versions of it. The part about contempt, I would say, is certainly correct when it comes to Japan. This expresses contempt for Japan, indifference to Japanese concerns, and it expresses a blunt rejection of past Security Council actions against North Korean space and missile launches. I think that is par for the course, too.
Joshua Pollack, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Joshua Pollack is a senior research associate at the Middlebury Institute of International Studies at Monterey. He's also the editor of the Nonproliferation Review.